The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to the program, Afternoons with Mike. I am so glad to have you along with us. Happy to welcome my friend Pete Alwinson back into the studio today, socially distanced as we usually are. But it's so great to see you, my friend.
And good to see you. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Well, you had a wonderful little getaway over the weekend and enjoying Labor Day festivities. For us, Labor Day is a very special day. We were married 44 years ago on the Labor Day weekend.
Congratulations. 44 years. That's a record, man.
No, it's awesome. It's a record for us. Yeah,
but that's great. That means a lot of hard work and a lot of God's power and love in a marriage.
And there is no question about all of that. So grateful for my wife. The Bible talks about he that finds a wife finds a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, I found a good thing.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
That's great. Oh, that's
She's
great.
A keeper.
Yeah.
And so we had a wonderful little getaway down at a nice resort. You know, if you're living in the Orlando area, there is no shortage of nice resorts.
Hmm.
Beautiful area, and so grateful, and a restful Labor Day. How about yourself?
Yeah. We had our family over, son and daughter-in-law, and their three kids, and my daughter and son-in-law. And so we had a great day, swimming, doing some fishing, all kinds of good stuff.
Now, those of us that are friends with you on Facebook know that you've been part of a... And I so admire what you're in great shape. You're a hiker. I never knew what a 14er?
14er.
A 14er. I'm looking, Pete, we're Facebook friends. I'm looking at your profile and it says that you're a 14er. And I thought, I don't even know what a 14er is.
There are 54 mountains over 14,000 feet.
I found that
in Colorado.
That
out. Oh, yeah. So you didn't read that.
I'm like everybody else, and especially those younger than I Googled it. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I found out that you're one of those guys that are up on those 14,000 foot.
Well, I try. That's why I got to keep in shape here, because it's tough being a flatlander in Florida and hiking out there.
But, yeah. So that's almost getting close to 3 miles off of the surface of, average terrain there and sea level. And when you realize that, I've been up on a mountain like that, not hiking, I might add, but driving. And we went up on a high one. I don't think it was 14. I think it was out of Colorado Springs someplace.
Pikes Peak?
I'm not sure. No, I take it back. It was out of Denver,
gotcha.
Out of the Denver area, not Colorado Springs. But we drove up and encountered, it was in June, and in that one drive, Pete, we encountered all of the weather. We had, kind of springtime down below, and we went through what would look like fall and rain, and we got up to the top and it was snowing.
Yeah.
All in June.
Phenomenal. It is. That's the way it is out there.
Of course, that's like life for us every day here in Florida, right?
Yeah, right.
No. Not at all. But that's great. So you've been on this trek for 22 days in a row?
Yeah, 22 days.
Of doing some push-ups. And tell us what that was all in honor of.
Well, on average, 22 vets a day take their lives. And it's a sad reality, but our veterans, really, men and women, they pour it out. They leave it out there, and everybody is influenced by the calamities of war. And the 22 push-up is something that a lot of guys are doing just to bring attention to our vets, to thank them, but also for the awareness of that PTSD struggle that so many have.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great cause if there ever was one. Mm. So appreciate our vets. And, I appreciate all of our first responders.
Absolutely.
Pete, we're living in a crazy time right now. Who would have ever believed that we would be seeing the calls for defunding police as we are today?
I know. That thin blue line really is a thin blue line. And we have got to stand with those guys and men and women.
I appreciate you. I appreciate that. And that is certainly where we're going to be standing as long as we can stand.
That's
we're going to be standing for that one. And we appreciate all of our first responders, police, all of the firemen, all of the emergency mm-hmm. workers, thank you for what you do. Mm-hmm. And as we have celebrated Labor Day, we just want to say we want to celebrate you, and mm-hmm. we're grateful for you and thankful for all that you do. Well, we're here today to talk about a dog.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about, Fido or my daughter's name. Dog's name is Remus.
Okay. All right. Remus.
Remus of the North, I think, is his official name, because they were living in Portland when they got him. But it's a great, and we call him Remy. We're not talking about that kind of dog, though. Mm. No, it's an acronym, and we're not talking about the Georgia dogs. I want to make that very clear, being a gator that I am. We're not talking about the dogs there. We're talking about an acronym that stands for a daily appointment with God.
Yeah.
Boy, now, this is something. Now, do you use this in Forge?
Yeah, we do. We talk about this as our whole idea of what we need to do to continue to stay connected to our Lord Jesus Christ and to stay growing on the grow.
Now, you know, a lot of men have told their wives, hey, I told you once I love you, and if that ever changes, I'll let you know. So some try to extend that kind of a mentality into the relationship with God. It doesn't really work that way. We don't do well at that, do we?
No. No, we don't. But I love, you're right. You know, but we struggle with that. You know, it just kind of historically, isn't it interesting that they've had different names for this? When I was young, really young, I remember them calling this something like the family altar,
mm-hmm.
where the family would get together, read the Bible, and pray together. And then I think through Campus Crusade and other Navigator, perhaps, ministries, mm-hmm. they started calling it a quiet time.
Hmm.
Over the years, what I realized is that I needed to have, if I was going to grow, and the guy who discipled me said, you got to have time with the Lord. He called mm-hmm. it the quiet time. But I'm not a quiet guy. And but what I need, if I was going to get it done, I had to make an appointment, because I'm on the go. You're a busy guy. I'm a busy yeah. guy. You got to make an appointment. And what I realized is that I needed to meet with the Lord daily for many reasons. But I had to make that appointment. So early in the day, I would make my daily appointment with God.
Now, you know, there are all sorts of appointments that we keep every day. None more important than the one that we need to have with God.
Boy, you're right.
You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, with that importance known, and it's obvious that we need God daily. Pete, why is it so easy to pass that one by?
Yeah, I think, for a lot of reasons. One, I don't think we really feel it deeply. I think a lot of it, we know it cognitively, but we don't feel deeply as well that we need a time with God. The second thing is, we don't know a lot of people that actually do that or do it well, where it's made a lasting transformation in their life. So we don't learn from them. And third, we don't have it modeled for us. It's mm-hmm. particularly as guys, what we see, we're more likely going to remember mm-hmm. Than what we then do. So I think at least those three reasons are there.
You know, I heard at radio at the beginning of all of this COVID intervention, COVID crisis, COVID impact. Now that all sorts of things are happening. You know, people are gaining weight. They call it the COVID spread. It's all the impact of all the things that are happening. I heard somebody on one of our programs, actually, it was the program Voice of the Martyrs. We carry that on the weekends here on The Shepherd. Todd Nettleton was talking to somebody, and the answer that this guy gave, I believe the man who was talking to him was the director for the Voice of the Martyrs, which is this marvelous ministry that reaches out to people who are in countries that are going through persecution, mm-hmm. Christians being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, one of the things that as Americans we have to be careful about is that we can live as if we are functionally, basically not believers.
Yeah.
And I think the term that he called it was functional atheism.
Yeah, I just heard about that concept. Apparently Greg Groshide, if I pronounce his name right, wrote a book by that title.
I hadn't heard
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought of that term, you know, that's what happens if people are living as if we don't need our time with God.
Yeah.
As if we don't need his daily input into our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people have called it quiet times because of the word telling us to meditate upon the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And,
right.
And, you know, I think that is so important that we are not only getting alone with God, getting, you know, Jesus used the concept of drawing away and, you know, going to your closet to pray, going wherever we need to go. He would seek the Lord, his Father, on a mountainside, oftentimes early in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's that functional. It's not what we declare we believe, but we functionally live as if we don't need a Savior.
You're exactly right. And we think we need a Savior for salvation, but we don't. We need grace. We need Jesus for salvation, but we don't realize we need Jesus. We need grace for transformation for our daily life and just sustaining the challenges of everyday life.
Right.
And so that's why the dog, daily appointment with God, is so important. It's coming away and remembering who he is, what he's done, and who we are now in Christ. So many of us forget our identity. And so we're in Christ, we're deeply beloved, redeemed sons and daughters of the Most High God. But we forget that because we live in a transactional, performance-oriented world.
Now, when you mentioned that we are living in that kind of world, and you already had talked about the fact that we don't have this modeled all the time before us. If people who are listening today, that would describe them. They don't have somebody in their life that's either taught them through discipleship or maybe have lived the life in front of them. That's one of the things that I, as a dad, tried to do.
Right.
I purposefully, when my children were young and coming up, I purposefully would allow them to catch their dad, if you will, having a time at the breakfast table, reading the word, praying, or whatever. It wasn't that I'm manipulating that. I invited them to interrupt me, if you will, because I wanted them to know that this is important to me.
Mm.
But I think that many are living in a time, and now that that season of my life is over, I find that I can be functionally living that if I don't have an appointment, if I'm not really purposefully after it, we can fall back into bad habits and just not go after the Lord the way we once did.
That's really true. And kudos to you for doing that, modeling that for your kids. That's no doubt transformed their lives. But you're absolutely right. I think we don't understand. We hear that we're supposed to grow in Christ, but we don't understand that really it is proximity to Christ. It is grace saves us, but grace is the energizing power that transforms us as mm-hmm. well. And so we need the Word of God. We need the grace of the Holy Spirit in us to help us see ourselves, where we need to grow, where we need strength, where we need energy for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we need guidance from the Word. And so a simple dog and a process for that is crucial for ongoing growth. So many people, you and I both know, they grow older, but they don't grow up. They mm-hmm. they can plateau in their spiritual life.
You know, one of the fascinating studies for me has been to study the life of Uzziah. In the year King Uzziah died, and we all know that verse from Isaiah chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, here is a guy who was a king. You wonder, I read that one time, and I wondered, why was that so important to mention that year? I mean, obviously, why was his death so significant? Now, not to ever act like a king's death wouldn't be, but this particular king, as I studied him, found out it was particularly important because he had been a great king.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 63 years, or mm-hmm. I believe it's over 60. And it's been a while since I've read that, studied that, but I can tell you he led well for almost his entire life.
Mm.
But he got up to the very last part of his life. And the Bible says, but when he grew strong, he grew proud.
Yes. Yes.
And at the end of his life, he was a man who took on many different job descriptions. He took on or tried to take on one he shouldn't have. Mm. And that was as priest, and started to offer a sacrifice in the temple. And the priests held him back. He's struck with leprosy, and he spends the rest of his life outside the city,
yeah,
in the lepers camp,
yeah,
alone. And there's no word that he ever repented about that. I mean, God have mercy upon that whole story. But mm-hmm. what was significant to me was he was a good king for all of those years. And at the very end of his life, at the very end, he grew proud.
Yeah.
And one way that we grow proud, Pete, is that we no longer are dependent on anybody but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is demonstrated. If people just tuned in, they heard the word dog. We're not talking about our furried friends here with four paws. We're talking about a daily appointment with God. When we act like we don't need that, that is a form of pride.
Yeah. Boy, you are so right. But that does not, his story does not have to be our story.
That's right.
We can keep growing all of our lives. In fact, need to, if we're in older ages, going to be resources for younger people, we have got to keep that dynamic warmth of being a Christ follower and be able to help, have wisdom to pass on to other younger people.
I want that. I do want that.
You are that.
Well, you're very kind. And thank you. I'm not that perfectly. I'm not that as often as I want to be, but I can tell you this, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe people who are listening do as well, or mm-hmm. they wouldn't be with us all this time.
That's right.
They wouldn't have hung on. It's so easy today in this culture to have a very short attention span.
Yes.
And I think that that's one of the problems that we have, even in our efforts to grow closer to the Lord, is that we can look at something. There's a story, Pete. I want to tell this before we take a break. There's a story I heard one time, and I believe it really does apply. It's about a farmer who was greatly distracted all the time. So the story goes that he was on his way out on a morning to fix his fence when he went to his barn to get his hammer. And while he was at the hammer, he realized that the door still needed repairing to his wood shop. So he took the time and he fixed the door. And while he was doing that, then one of the animals started crying, and he went to check on that, and he got all of that done. And then he realized, you know, I haven't eaten lunch. So he went to eat lunch. And while he was eating lunch, he realized the sink was leaking. And so he jumped on that and fixed that. It's very important not to have a leaky sink. So he started that. He fixed the leak. And one thing after another like that all day long. And at the end of the day, he realized, I never fixed my fence. And I think that happens to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tyranny of the urgent.
Yes. Yeah.
Takes away from what is really important.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And that phrase, tyranny of the urgent, is a good one to think about. That's why I do my dog at the beginning of the day. I need to go to bed a little bit early, get up a little bit earlier, so I can start my day setting my identity right in Christ, listening to God, my Father, who wants to guide my life and give me wisdom for that day, as well as ongoing development.
Well, we're going to hear more from Pete Alwinson on that. Again, if you've just tuned in, we're talking about a daily appointment with God, the acronym DAWG, D-A-W-G. Something we all need. Friends, I hope it's something that we can all grow with as a part of today's program. That is the goal. We want to help you. We want to inspire you. We want ourselves. I want this in my own life to grow more faithful and to be a better follower of the Lord. We're going to be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. My guest in the studio, returning again, a guy that's a regular force now, and I love having him here, my friend Pete Alwinson from The Forge. The Forge is a men's ministry, and Pete himself has been a pastor for a long time here in Orlando, Willow Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were the founding pastor.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's wonderful. You planted that church.
And served for 26 years, and it's still continuing and doing well. So it's great to know.
Wow. Wonderful church. Wonderful church. Yourself, a student of the word, a student, attended RTS and You've been an instructor there as well.
Yeah, right. I had a chance to be an adjunct professor there at RTS.
Well, it's great to have you here. Pete is one of these guys that you want to have in your corner. Pete is a wise man, not a wise guy. He might be a wise guy too, in a good way. But boy, oh boy, is it fun sitting here talking about him. Pete leads this ministry called The Forge. Take just a minute. Tell us about The Forge for people who may be listening for the first time.
Yeah, well, we're about building great men as God defines greatness, which starts with coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ and then growing in every aspect of life as sons, leaders, worker providers, and warriors for the gospel. So those are the parameters. We have a Tuesday morning meeting at Reformed Seminary, a Thursday morning meeting at St. Stephen's Church in Longwood, and then online a Tuesday lunch, Zoom, for downtown guys.
Oh, my goodness. Three opportunities.
Yeah.
Now, there has to be a great story and a great purpose to go along with the name. I don't think we've done this yet. Tell us the origination of why you chose the word forge. It's all sorts of great imagery, and I'm imagining, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, you think of the anvil, you think of the furnace, and then you think of the hammer, right? So when men and women, but when men come in contact with the truth of God's word and the gospel, it's like being put in the heat and the light of truth. And then God takes that and develops us. And He is hammering us at times with the truth, but shaping us into resilient men, men that become stronger and more godly in our character. And so the anvil was the symbol of the African-American church after the Civil War, and for many, many years, that they understood that God placed them in the challenges of life to shape them into stronger people. And so we've taken that, the anvil and the hammer and the idea of the forge, and we just love that God is shaping us into stronger men following Christ.
Now, you know, the Bible talks about as iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
So does one man sharpen another.
That's right.
The purpose for this men's ministry is to really see that kind of relationship with God, not only with God, but I think men to men friendship, being able to relate to other men, that's an important aspect all by itself. But mostly, absolutely, our vertical relationship to God. That is what happens when we need each other for that. There's no question about it. I don't know if I ever told you about my experience in shop class in eighth grade. Did I ever tell you?
I don't know. Tell me.
Well, this is a life lesson. I think I shared this one other time on the show, but it's a story that truly was in eighth grade, a life lesson. I recognized it many years later just how important it was, but we were given the job in eighth grade in this shop class to make a hammer. And our shop teacher, we were doing it out of polished steel, which we had to polish the steel, by the way, and I'd never done that before. So we got unpolished steel, and this shop instructor gave us the tools that we needed, and he said, "You guys are going to be sanding down the steel." Now, my dad had been a woodworker, and my grandfather had been a woodworker, and I'd been in construction, and I knew all about sandpaper. But at that stage of my life in eighth grade, I didn't know you could sand steel. That just didn't seem right to me. So as we began making these things, and basically in our situation, we were not sharpening the steel. We were sharpening it, if you will. We were sanding, taking the rough edges off with this sandpaper. And as we did it, for the first time, I put it in the vise grip, the vise, tightened it up, started sanding it, and I was shocked at two things. Number one, it created a dust. It wasn't sawdust, Pete.
Right.
It was steel dust.
Steel dust, yeah.
It was steel dust. I never knew you could take edges off of steel by doing that. But the second thing I realized was it was very hot because of the friction.
That's right.
Rubbing on that. And later in the life, the Lord told me that as iron sharpens iron, you take that iron grit sandpaper for steel, and you know, you can use it to sharpen an edge like on a lawnmower blade.
That's right.
A better way is a grinder.
But
whenever you do that, two things are going to happen. Something gets knocked off, a little bit of grit, a little bit of dust falls to the ground. Mm-hmm. We lose a little bit of ourselves every time. And that's a good thing.
That's
in
right.
this context.
Lose the sinful dimensions
right.
of our life that have to go.
The will that needs to go gets knocked to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing I learned through this that the Lord showed me later was there's a measure of heat that happens with friction.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you are in a real relationship with anyone, I don't care who it is, there are going to be times that there's going to be a rub. And that rub causes friction.
Mm-hmm.
And it may appear to be a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing.
No, you're right. Psalm 119, I think it's verse 71, says, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes."
Yeah.
And so you're right. We need that. Men tend to run away from trials. We want comfort. And we need that sharpening of the Word of God. We need to be discomforted by truth.
Mm-hmm.
We need to allow the Spirit of God to shape us. And you're absolutely right. Proverbs 27:17 is crucial for this whole thing of what we do at Forge. So we teach for 25 minutes, but then we have 25 minutes of table talk, team talk, where we learn that other brothers in Christ help us apply the truth to our lives. That brotherhood for men is an absolutely crucial part of the discipleship process.
It keeps us from being alone.
Yeah.
It keeps us, I believe, motivated. Sometimes we could say keeps us on track.
Yeah.
And that's where two is better than one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We need that. So basically, a dog being a daily appointment with God. Pete, when you think about that and whether our listeners are calling it right now a devotional, morning quiet time, morning time with God, or in your case, a dog, D-A-W-G, appointment with God. What do you see are the steps of importance? What do we need to know about that?
Yeah. I don't want to just get, and I'm not going to be critical of any other names, but I'm going to say, I don't want to just get a nice little thought for the day. I want to continue to grow deeper in my understanding of who God is and who I am in Christ. And so the steps really are, what I do is I open up, I have a church history devotional, which is a one-day thing, and I just read that real quick. I have my holy cup of coffee with me, you know.
I believe that.
Yeah, I know. Coffee is a vitamin. It's not a stimulant, but it wakes me up. It's God's gift to us. So I get my holy cup of coffee, come to my desk, I read that one-page devo opening up, get my mind thinking. And then I read a psalm and a proverb, and that kind of jumps me into the Word of God to think. And you're not going for bulk. You're going for real comprehension. I start out, "Father, it's good to be with you today. I'm your son, and I'm glad I'm your son. Just speak to me now," and drink that cup of coffee, read that psalm, move, and then, you know, God can stop you at any time as you listen. And the proverb for the day is the whatever day of the week it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I missed the fourth day of the month, the day before, I can jump right into the fifth day. I'm Proverbs chapter 5. And I just read a proverb a day. And then I think, what are you saying to me? And I write down in a journal thoughts that God brings to you. And the longer you do this, as you know, God begins to make his word clear to you through his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to hear his voice. It's something that is developed, takes practice, takes time.
Yeah.
But over time, you begin to hear God's still small voice speaking to us.
Jesus said that. He said, "My sheep know my voice."
Yes, exactly.
He said that. And there is that development, that relationship is not that unlike any other relationship that we have.
That's
when
right.
you meet who is going to become your wife the first time, you don't know every a little bit of her habits of speaking or the way she, maybe her humor works or whatever. But after 44 years, I can tell you, I know my wife very well.
And she knows you very
and
well.
And she does.
and that's what should happen.
Right.
So when we start having a daily appointment with God and then we stop it, we kind of lose that flow. Now, don't get legalistic. You're not going to heaven by having a daily appointment with God. You go to heaven because of faith in Jesus, right?
Right.
That's the deal. but it develops that ongoing sense and of who you are. And I'm reminded every day before I go out to work that I am his son.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm tempted to find my identity in my work.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we should reestablish our identity in Christ before we start our day. And then we can go out in our identity as workers, as leaders, as spreading the gospel, or whatever we're doing. But it's important. Identity is everything, and it's important to start our day right.
And God wants us to have that identity. He calls us to himself. One of the greatest revelations for me was the one that said to my mind, which can be kind of dull at times, I want to have time with you. When I would realize that that would be an expression through his word,
mm-hmm.
that God is saying, I desire you. I love that, Zephaniah, the God who sings over us, he's longing to spend time with us.
That's exactly right. And that's what people often forget. Where this got real for me is once I realized in young adulthood that my earthly father didn't have any time for me. He really didn't develop me. I had to figure out all kinds of things on my own. But that in Christ, God was available to me 24/7, 365 as my father. So I have a father because of Jesus, and he's willing to develop me every day, all the time, 24/7, 365, and he never begrudged the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what really fueled the dog for me, is mm-hmm. I realized I've got a father, an Abba, who wants to spend time with me.
Let's take a moment right now and address what you just said, because you hit something that in this day and age, it's more and more common for men to not have a good relationship or not have had mm-hmm. a good relationship with their own dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the temptation can be throughout their entire life to use that as either an excuse or perhaps a reason or a justification why that they can excuse their own behavior. I've seen this happen many times. For you that did not have, were you ever tempted to like, well, I can never have maybe a doubt that I can never have a good relationship with God?
You know, that wasn't my experience. I think once I accepted Christ when I was younger, then went through several years of rebellion, but in those college years, I realized what I'd been seeking was, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean? And then in Christ, what does it mean to be a biblical man, mm-hmm. a real man? And we are struggling with the issue of manhood in American culture like no other time in our history.
I would agree with that. I mean, even to the point, I was listening this morning to a man that is a hero to me. It's Albert Mohler. I just love listening to his briefing every day. And it just really does feed me. And I try to include that in my morning time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the day in which we live, a very attack on things that once we would never have questioned, and that being our gender.
Right.
You're male and female, he made them.
Right.
But we're living now in a time where a lot of young men who are growing up in this culture are given the option.
That's right.
Are you really a man?
That's right.
Are you a male?
And we have to take our cue from Scripture on that. And then we have to have a male affirm us. We have to have a father to affirm us. The father is the one scripturally who should be giving the blessing to their kids, as mm-hmm. you've done to yours and as I've done to mine. And but our Heavenly Father is the one who gives us a blessing and clarifies identity. What I often say is that you cannot earn your identity. Identity has to be bestowed by a father. Biblically, that's the way it's set up. And in Christ, God is our father. He tells women, you're my daughter. He tells men, you're my son in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that identity has to be affirmed. But then what does it mean to grow as a man or as a woman? Gender matters. What does biblical femininity look like? What does biblical masculinity look like?
Yeah.
And I need to get that on an ongoing basis, particularly when my culture is spinning with multiple options all around us. There are multiple masculinities that are thrown at guys today. And mm-hmm. we have to be immersed in the biblical, the truth of the word to get our identity refocused and then to have that shape what it means to be man.
I can already tell that the next time you come back, we need to talk about that.
Mm.
The whole thing about our culture, the whole thing about where we are with regards to identity politics and as it's called, and our solidity in Christ as a man or a woman of God. How does that happen? That's all by itself a wonderful topic. Mm-hmm. But you're right. So basically, to bring us back around to where we were, it doesn't really matter whether we did have a good model in our father or not. We have that in God.
That's right. And I often tell guys, I say, if you had a great earthly father experience, praise God. He talked to you about Jesus. He blessed you. He gave a good model for you. You still are not enough. Your kids still need God the Father.
Yeah.
And so you're absolutely, so for those men who grew up angry, and by the way, this goes back to your earlier question. There are a lot of young men who are angry and they don't know why they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is because they didn't have a father develop them. And they're angry. They're angry at a lot of things. They're angry at the women in their life. They're angry at everybody. In Christ, we can come and have a father, even if you didn't have a good earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you had a good earthly father, you still need God the Father because he's perfect and your earthly father is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tell my kids at Thanksgiving, I said, hey, I was a good dad, right? And they laugh. I said, but you know, I'm not enough, right? And you know, we pray for them that they continue to go deeper with God the Father.
I love that image that says there's a God-shaped hole in all of our hearts.
Absolutely.
That only God can fill.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that one of the problems that is so apparent in our world today is that people who have rejected God are trying to fill that hole. They're cramming it full of just about anything else that they can put in there, only to no satisfaction in their lives.
That's right. That's right.
Because none of those things, A, will work in that shape, that void. And secondly, he's not going to allow anything to take his place because he's God.
That's right.
There's only one God and that's him.
Yeah.
And he wants it. But to get on the other side of that one and to realize that God desires and longs for that fulfillment to be enjoyed by us. That's why I've loved Piper's words. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him.
And that's such a good quote. And that's what comes when we keep coming back to the word and keep coming back in our dog. We become satisfied more and more in him as we get closer and closer to him. He is the satisfying force in our life that brings deep contentment. And many Christians are simply missing that. They're not content. They're not happy. They're striving for more and more out there. And it's partly because God is not meeting their need in their heart. It's not God's fault. It's that they're not availing, in a sense, of just the presence of the living God.
Oh, it's good stuff, Pete Allinson. Every time you're here, the time just flies by, and we're going to have to take one more break. We're going to be back with Pete Allinson from The Forge. He is here with us today, and I'm glad that you are as well. We'll be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike. Friends, thank you so much for being back with us here on The Shepherd. My guest in the studio today is Pete Allinson from The Forge. We've been talking about DAWG. D-A-W-G. It's an acronym for Daily Appointment with God. Wow, I hope that you haven't just tuned in, but if you did and you missed the other segments, be sure and get this on our website via the podcast. We're on a podcast now, and it's available. You can have it delivered and notified when the new one comes to you. All you have to do is go to Apple, iTunes, or Spotify, and sign up and get it delivered, and it will be sent right to your inbox. And my show name, the keywords are Afternoons with Mike. That's it. That's all you need. Afternoons with Mike. And sign up for the podcast and catch these first two segments. Pete, it's just so great to talk about these things because these are really practical issues.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When we think about a daily appointment with God, I think a lot of people generations ago, we see it on television. It's depicted in movies. People need that weekly time with God in a Sunday service. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like that is our time. But that was never intended by the Word of God to be our filling station, if you will, a once a week filling station to get us. I mean, it's very important. I'm all for
absolutely
not missing that. And I don't think we should. I think it's just that it's not enough. We need God on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about, which is an amazing thing, really. When you think about how the Word of God in the Old Testament mindset was much more memory oriented because they couldn't just carry around those big scrolls with them.
Didn't have iPhones. I mean,
That's right. And so their memory was more well developed. They would hear the scriptures read in synagogues and in services, and they'd memorize it. But now the Word of God is in print and digitally.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how God intended for us through the Word of God to hear His voice through the written word, and how the Spirit of God uses the written word. Jesus is called the Logos, the reason, mm-hmm. and how He uses that to continue to develop us, to sanctify us, to set us apart, to conform us to the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if we avail of that, but if we just read a scripture, it might go in one ear and out the other, or just real quick. But if we meditate on it, think it through, and listen, we're more likely to get the deeper meaning of it and for transformation.
So now I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't know that I've done before. I want you to put your seminary professor hat on for a second and give us that definition, the helpful explanation as to how the Holy Spirit or what the Word itself means when we have our mind illuminated through the Word of God. How does that, what's going on when that happens?
Yeah, wow. Well, you know, we think of revelation as how God gives the Word. Illumination is kind of the word that we think of when we speak of the Holy Spirit bringing enlightenment to our eyes to understand the revelation that was already given. So Paul talks about who knows God better, the Spirit of God, or you. And really, when we have the Spirit of God in us, He helps us understand the Word.
Romans 8. Yeah.
He helps us pray when we don't know how to pray.
Right.
Well, the Spirit of God. So there is a mystical, mysterious working that goes on in that whole process.
But He does. And I love that, you know, Jesus told the disciples, studying chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John, He told them over and over and over again what's going to happen, but I think they were too heartbroken perhaps to really catch it all then. Mm-hmm. They remembered a lot of it later.
Yes.
But He told them that the Holy Spirit would lead them and guide them in truth.
Into all truth. And then in John 8:32, we see that the reality is Jesus said, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom not to do whatever we want, but freedom to have new desires, a larger life, a bigger life, a more well-developed life. God has a plan for our life that is far bigger than we recognize. We think too small about what God wants. Mm-hmm. He's making us little Christs, mm-hmm. which is a stunning thing. And He does it through His Word, through the Spirit. Those are the means of grace. Worship, too,
mm-hmm.
and the encouragement of other Christians. But He uses these means of grace to transform us and build us,
mm-hmm.
Shape our thinking, our emotions, and our decision-making.
You know, I was talking to a man that I just love, Jim Henry.
Oh, man.
What a man of God he is.
Great gift to the church.
And he was talking about how that he had one of those moments where he was walking out, saw an individual, and he felt that impression right then and right there to go back to that person and encourage him.
Mm.
And he almost didn't do it.
Mm.
But then, I mean, that's just the power of these kinds of moments,
yeah.
that we can develop in a daily appointment with God, where you recognize when you're being led into all truth. You're
That's
being
right.
led as a witness.
Yes.
And he stopped where he was. He went back and he goes, you know, I just feel like the Lord wants me to pray. And it turns out it was a major thing in that guy's life. You know, that's something that we just, I believe, will not remember on a daily basis if we don't have that time with God.
That's right. That's right. That is so true. And what I find too, and you might find this as well, once you have that time with the Lord, and then you go out, maybe you go ride your bike, or maybe you go on a jog, or maybe you just go on a walk or whatever, he continues the thinking process. If you start with him at the beginning of the day, he can tie your day together with either that person or deepen the truth that he's leading you on for your life. Mm. And we do get distracted, but he has a process. And then at the end of the day, you can wrap it up. Interesting, isn't it, that the Jews prayed three times a day. Mm. Daniel prayed three times a day. And how there's a natural ebb and flow to our life. And at the end of the day, to think, Lord, what have you been doing in me today? Some of the older Christians used to journal at nighttime, too, mm-hmm. writing down what they learned. So he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's continually developing us and encouraging us and using us like your Jim Henry story.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about what you just said about the end of the day, and it reminds me of a Puritan writer one time that told the story about how much sweeter, how much brighter, how much hotter the fires of our relationship with God would burn in the morning if we had stoked the embers the night before.
Ah, yes. So there's that flow, isn't it,
yeah.
through our lives. And that's why this is not a guilt thing. I'm not saying, you know, you're not going to go to heaven if you have a dog. You're going to heaven because of Jesus. But heaven becomes more real. Your relationship with Jesus becomes more real. The ability to deal with trials and difficulty. Are there days that you wake up and you go, I don't want to read the word? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I need to read a devotional to get going in that. Sometimes I need to read a biography. Sometimes I jumping into the word works, but sometimes, you know, you go emotionally. C.S. Lewis talked about in the Screwtape Letters, the undulations of our emotions. We go up and down. So there's times I don't feel like spending time with the Lord, but interestingly, you do it anyway, and he brings you in,
mm-hmm.
and you warm up to it. And then you get to a point where if you don't have one, you feel like, what did I miss?
Right.
I missed so much.
You know, I think of the time, there was a point in time where I was probably more emotionally upset than at any other time in my life. And we're driving by. It was when the Lord was calling us to move from Orlando to go to Gainesville.
Mm.
And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave Orlando, but God was leading me to do it. And we were going on this trip to confirm all of that. And I told my wife as we passed by this one spot, it was right, if those in Central Florida will know exactly where I'm talking about. It's the service station right before you get off the turnpike and you get the Okahumka station before you get to I-75. And we're passing right by that spot when I made this comment. I said, you know, honey, I'm so emotionally messed up right now. I don't know that I could ever hear from God.
Mm.
How wrong was I?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I heard clearly.
Mm.
And that was another one of those important life lessons, Pete, mm-hmm. is that I realized that what I feel in the moment is not as strong as God's purpose in my life that he is doing in me.
Oh, and you just tapped into something. We are so feeling oriented.
Yeah.
That sometimes we can't hear God's. We don't want to hear God because our feelings are more important. But the Spirit of God breaks through that, doesn't he?
He does. We've got just enough time to talk about one other aspect, and I think it's so important. And that is the fact that we wrestle against our flesh.
Mm.
We struggle with sinfulness, whether it's with our eyes, whether it's with anger, whether it's speaking harshly to our wives, whatever it is. And I find in my life that a daily appointment with God gives me that power through the power of God. He helps me in just even my daily sanctification. Is that not the truth?
Absolutely. It's a great time to confess our sins, to say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? to process with your Heavenly Father things you don't want to say to anybody else. It's just crucial because mm-hmm. you are deeply loved by Jesus, by the Father. And it's crucial, Mike, in every way.
We've got 3 minutes left, Pete. What are your closing thoughts about the importance of a daily appointment with God?
Well, I would say it is crucial. And I would say start with 5 minutes and then work up to 10 minutes and then to 15 minutes. Just don't, if you're not doing half an hour, you're not going to do half an hour today. Work into it. Just be honest with the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to spend time with you, but it's hard. Draw me into this. Help mm-hmm. me enlighten the eyes of my heart that I might understand your word. And then see how applicable it is in my life. Help me to see these things.
And your own part of your daily routine would be to read a chapter from Psalms and Proverbs.
Right.
And always the day of the month for Proverbs.
For Proverbs. That's a way to get started. But then you can morph it mm-hmm. in other ways. You can start reading in a gospel. But you're not reading to get large chunks. You're reading for comprehension and to hear the voice of God. So I stay at it until I start saying, well, I think this is what you're saying to me.
Mm.
Stay at it as long as you can and then go to bed earlier and get up earlier.
Mm-hmm. Now, on that, final thought.
Sure.
Why is it important to go to bed earlier? You've said that a couple of times.
Well, you know, there's not a lot really worth staying up late for. And of course, I've developed the habit of getting up earlier because as a pastor, I had to meet people before they went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just got in that habit of getting up early and then I wanted to be prepped for them. So I'd spend time in the Word, then I'd go meet. But when I go to bed earlier, then I'm fresher.
Mm-hmm.
Grab that cup of coffee and I can hear God's Word. Chuck Swindoll once said that there are springers and sleepers. Some people wake up ready to go and some people don't. I'm a sleeper. I need coffee. But I need that time to get ready for the day with you.
Give us your website for The Forge.
It's forge@forgetruth.com if you want to email us. But that's it, forgetruth.com.
And your meetings, places throughout the week are?
In Greater Orlando, Tuesday morning and Thursday morning. And you could find those on our website.
All right, Pete Alwinson, it is always a joy to have you here, my friend. The time is melted by, and friends, be sure and tell others about this and be watching for it on our website. Of course, you can always get it on our website at theshepherdradio.com, but you can also find Afternoons with Mike podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Sign up there. And Pete, we'll see you next time, my friend.
God bless you, buddy.
All right. And friends, thanks for joining us here on The Shepherd on Afternoons with Mike.